certainly teaches the principle of what I'm kind of concerned about. You know, in the last 6 months, in every country in the world, we have had people running around with our flag and burning it, carrying an effigy of George Bush and burning that. Remember old Bob Burns and his bazooka? But running around, and they make fun of him. They say he's an idiot. They say he doesn't know what he's doing. And they just ridicule our president, and they burn effigies of him, and they burn our flag. They're doing it in every country in the world. They're doing it in Britain, which is supposed to be on our side. Most of the population is opposed to what we're doing. And it's a democratic society, so that's their right. And in this country, Hollywood has completely turned on our president. They think he's a village idiot. And they have all kind of peace protests, and they get on television and make fun of the administration and of everything that this country stands for. And then we have these huge rallies, these huge demonstrations in our own country against our president. And it's almost like George Bush is the most evil man on this earth. How many demonstrations worldwide have you seen against Saddam Hussein? Think about it. How many demonstrations have you seen in Germany, in France, in England? Go as far back as you want. I don't care how far back in time you go. And how many demonstrations have you seen against Saddam Hussein, who brutally released toxic poisons on the Kurds? And you've seen the horrible pictures of the babies lying there paralyzed from the time they breathed it in. Turned it against the Iranians when it looked like he was going to win the war. Brutally murdered many of his own people. An absolutely tyrannical monster. How many demonstrations do you see Hollywood putting up against him? And how many demonstrations do you see occurring across the earth? And where has man's reason gone? This bothers me. I guess maybe it bothers me because I've kept up with it. When the inspectors pulled out of there, they were driven out, made to leave in 1991. The Iraqis had released to us, and we knew they had it, a whole list of terrifying weapons of mass destruction. And then mainly and totally, really, totally, because the United States began to put pressure on Iraq, they began to say, well, we might let the inspectors back in. And just because the United States put pressure on them, they let them back in. Now you've got Germany over there, and France, and China, and Russia. They have been having their trade ministers flow into the whole Arab world like Carter's little liver pills, and they're making all kind of deals. And they're going to get rich out of this because they get the Arab oil, they get the cheap labor, it fuels their industrial complex. And so the United States is the bad guy. George Bush is a monster. But you don't see any demonstrations against Chirac or against the German leader, are against Putin, are against the Chinese leader. You don't see them in Hollywood, do you? Do you see all these Hollywood personalities going on television and ridiculing the Chinese leaders, ridiculing Putin and Russia? Do you see huge mass protests in this country? Do you see them anywhere? No. That's what bothers me. It bothers me a lot. Because it shows how the morality of the world has changed. A few years ago, the expression, the moral majority, the silent moral majority, they said that we were Christians, believers in Christ, believers in the Bible, believers that God left us a book called the Bible. That's inspired. It was highly publicized that we were a silent majority. We may have been. But I'll tell you what we are now. We're a vocal minority. And the people that are looked down upon and disliked and criticized by the majority of the population in this country are Christians. I'm not talking about religious people. I'm talking about Christians, people who try to follow the teachings of Christ and to be like Christ. I don't understand why even people that are evil, sinful, wicked, ungodly, hateful, can't understand this simple principle. Let me show you the latest signs of 100% cooperation, and then I'll get into the scripture. One bomb with liquid in it. Now that we've got all those troops over there poised in Kuwait, we've got 210,000 in Persia, and we're getting ready to attack. Saddam Hussein plays his latest card. They found a bomb, the Iraqis did, with liquid in it, in the area where they were destroying them in 1991. You know what Blix said? Now we have cooperation. It is a positive sign. Now let me show you why that's so stinking ridiculous. And then, would you believe, after those tons of material they put out there on those long tables showing everything they had when all these inspections started, they have now found a handwritten document concerning destruction of 1991 weapons of mass destruction. It's just one little piece of paper. They found it, and they turned it over to the weapons inspectors. Hooray! Hallelujah! Wonderful! Look at that complete cooperation. And now the United Nations president, he says, no, we don't want to go to war now. Now they're cooperating. Let me show you what they had when they drove the inspectors out. Where are these items? They have no record of ever having disposed of them. Don't tell me the Iraqis don't keep meticulous records. The most meticulous records in the world were kept by their ancestors in the Babylonian archives. They keep meticulous records. There are 380 tons of chemical warfare agents that nobody knows what happened to them. Nobody knows, has any idea. It was like the tooth fairy came and took them away. What happened to the 1.5 tons of VX nerve agents? They had them. They were laid out. They were declared. Back when we had them down and had whipped them all the way back to Baghdad, they didn't have any choice. Well, what happened to the 1.5 tons of this nerve gas? This is a deadly nerve gas. It just disappeared. But now we have one bomb that they've turned over to us with liquid in it. What happened to the 6,500 chemical bombs that they had? This isn't something where you say, well, you just think they had. No, they declared this. They had it. It was there. And the inspectors were in the process of destroying it when they ran them out. 8,500 liters of anthrax. Where is it? I mean, did it just disappear? There's no record of them ever disposing of it. You think if they disposed of that and didn't keep a record, man alive, they would have kept meticulous records and absolute irrefutable proof that they had destroyed it. 550 mustard gas artillery shells. Where are they? They're gone. 50 long-range missile warheads. 3,000 tons of chemical precursors that are necessary to put in with the other chemicals to make them to react. Where is all that stuff? There is absolutely no record whatsoever of what happened to any of that when they drove the inspectors out. Now, what we're supposed to do is to let Saddam Hussein keep playing one card at a time. Give us one bomb at a time. Give us 3/4 of a ton of that VX nerve gas. Then maybe 2 or 3 years from now, give us another 1/4 ton. And gradually and slowly bring it out and give it to us. And all the time, he's making these deals with China, Russia, France, Germany. He's already made them with them. They're actually in country carrying them out. He's getting richer and richer and richer. And as this stuff is being surrendered to us over a 20-year period, pretty soon he might even turn out to be the Antichrist. In any case, that's what's going on. Now, people say, well, Brother McElmurray, that's just your opinion. No, those things were there. Where are they? They're hidden. Iraq is a big, big country. You can hide this stuff where nobody would ever find it. It's kind of like the old, they run Iraq like Blackbeard. Blackbeard used to take the men ashore with him, two or three of them, have them carry and bury the treasure. Then he'd kill all three of them and bury them. And nobody would know where it was hidden on the island. That's a miniature way of doing it. Saddam Hussein follows basically the same principle. What really concerns me about all this? It's not all that. Besides, I think we're going to find out pretty soon how much of this he has. Because if we come charging in there, he's going to turn this stuff loose. And I'm hoping we can get enough airstrikes in there to where he won't be able to turn it loose on us. I tell you what really bothers me. It isn't that he has all this. It isn't that millions are going to die. Sure, that bothers me. Bothers me a lot. But not near as much as what I have seen this world turn into. We have the morals of an alley cat. The world is so ungodly, it hasn't been like this since the days of the flood. It hasn't been like this since the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Israel had gotten so bad, so sinful, so wicked, so far away from this book we call the Bible. They had departed from the teachings of their God to such a degree before they went into Babylonian captivity that they couldn't tell right from wrong. Just before I came over here, I was watching two men commenting on two lawyers on Channel 26, Fox Network. And they were talking about this 35-year-old school teacher that had seduced this 15-year-old boy, I think, seventh grader. And they were talking about, should she be punished? And one of the lawyers said he was sick of our Puritan ethics. And that's the reason that the English ran the Puritans out of England, put them over here. He said, our laws are wrong. And there was nothing wrong with what they did. It's perfectly all right. This is a man trained in the law, but knows nothing of this, and knows nothing of God. If you think this country's bad, you ought to spend some time in Europe. You know, I talk about earthquakes, and I've used them now for the 23 years I've done these lectures. I've used them to show that Jesus is coming soon. I'm sure he is. I've used the pestilences to prove it. I've used the famines to prove it. I've used a whole bunch of things. But let me show you why I know it's soon. Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. They can't discern. That's why you don't have any demonstrations against Saddam Hussein, that ungodly monster, and those men under him who are as bad as he is. That's why the world's nations aren't protesting against him. There's profit in it for them. They can get the oil. They can get the cheap Arab labor. They can improve their own economies and satisfy their own people. And so because of this, it seems justified to them. And what God calls evil, they call good. And what God calls good, they call evil. And what God calls light, they call darkness. And what darkness is identified as God as being darkness, they call it light. They have no spiritual discernment whatsoever. They have no love of God whatsoever in them. They have no concern for what God is or what God stands for. And this earth is in such a terrible, catastrophic condition that I know Christ is coming. It got that way before the flood, got that way before Sodom and Gomorrah, and judgment's coming on this earth. That put bitter for sweet, sweet for bitter. It doesn't matter that Saddam Hussein is the brutal murderer of many thousands of Iranians with gas, and of Kurdish population, millions of them wiped out by that monster. It doesn't matter that he's killed countless thousands of his own people. That's okay, because the oil is there. That will improve France's economy. That will improve Germany's economy. That will improve the Chinese economy. And it will improve the Russian economy. And what seems very bitter and unfair to us tastes great to them. What's bitter to God is sweet to them. And what's sweet to God is very bitter to them. And it's going to get worse, because this generation has been so vividly influenced by Hollywood and by ungodly rock stars whom the young people emulate and look at and consider them to be their heroes and their role models, and they have the morals of an alley cat. And the young people look at them and it excites them, and they think that bitter is sweet and sweet is bitter. They have a difficult time discerning darkness for light, and they have a difficult time knowing what's evil and what's good. This book condemns Saddam Hussein and his entire regime. This book condemns the activities of Hollywood and the ungodliness that permeates out of Hollywood. This book condemns the rock groups and the ungodly mess that they spew out, and many of them claim to be doing in the name of Christ, and they know no more of Christ than a jackrabbit. Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes, prudent in their own sight. They'll tell you this isn't the word of God. Many of them will tell you there's no God. Those who do tell you in Hollywood, or those who do tell you in the rock groups that there's a God, they have their own version of God. I don't know if you watched very much television and you saw where 96, 97 people were killed in a Holocaust by the Great White Rock Group and their pyroclastics, pyrotechnics. You say, Brother McElmurray, don't you feel sorry? You bet I do. Are you sorry it happened? Yes, I am. But did you see the pictures that were taken while they were actually conducting their fiery display, and the booze lifted up in the air, and the people excited and on fire with the lust of their own hearts? Did you see their faces? Well, what happens afterwards? Well, there are all the parents, the mothers, the brothers and sisters, and the children. And they're using constant expressions like, oh, I hope God will see us through this. Oh, God, and they just keep using the name of God, and it rolls off their lips. They bring out God when they need him. But when they don't need him, they live like hell. When Moses gave the Ten Commandments, he came down from the mountain. He had left the children of Israel alone down at the base of Sinai. God had parted the waters of the Red Sea. They had gone across. God had given them water from a rock in a barren desert so they could live. He had provided them with food. He had watched over them and protected them, performed miracle after miracle, parting the waters of the Red Sea, swallowing up Pharaoh. But just as soon as Moses went up the mountain and God wasn't around as far as they were concerned, because they saw God in Moses, the Bible says, and they rose up to play. And they played. And they began to dance in the nude. And they had a great old time. Today,
what I am considered and would be considered a little short, fat, dumpy redneck who's an asinine bastard and who Hollywood wishes was dead as a doornail and who has no concept whatsoever of what true God is or what true judgment is or what true morality is. They make their own judgment. They make their own assessment. They're wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Do I think I'm wise in my own eyes? No. Do I think I'm prudent in my own sight? No. Do I know good from evil? Yes. Do I know light from darkness? Yes. Do I know bitter from sweet? Yes. Because my thoughts and beliefs are based on this book. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And judgment's coming on this planet. And it's coming soon. We've gone too far. The world has gotten to a situation where it can't tell good from evil, where it can't tell bitter from sweet. And today our young people are presented with a Hollywood picture of absolute immorality and ungodliness, and they think it's all right because everybody does it. And they don't want to be labeled as nerds and hicks and rednecks. Woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine. Did you watch the pictures in that nightclub? Did you notice they were drinking? That may have been one of the reasons, at least some small partial reason, why they had so much trouble getting out. You say, well, Brother Michael Murray, was there ever a time in your life that you called evil good and good evil? Was there ever a time in your life you didn't know darkness from light? Was there ever a time in your life that you were wise in your own eyes and prudent in your own sight? Was there ever a time in your life when you drank wine and caroused, raised hell? Oh, yes. Been there. Done that. Tore up bars all across North Africa. Mean as hell. Yeah, I've been there. I know what it is. And I know how wrong and sinful it is. And how wrong and sinful I was. I was influenced by the rock stars of my day. I was influenced by the lifestyle of the Hollywood personalities when I grew up. Been there. Done that. I know evil from good because I've seen both sides of it. But now, as I look upon this younger generation, as I look upon the world as I see it today, what's considered to be acceptable is to get up on Monday morning with a hangover, stagger down, do a halfway job wherever you work, get through the week somehow. If you're too far hungover, call in sick. Don't give a man an honest day's work. Don't give the place you work an honest day's work. Just get through the week until Friday and then get your paycheck and go out and raise hell and get drunk. I'm talking about the American lifestyle, and I'm talking about it right here in Russell, and I'm talking about it in Dardanelle. That's it. And if you don't want your children to grow up in it, you better tell them about it. And you better show them in God's Word why it's wrong. If I hadn't had grandparents that told me all this was wrong and showed me in the Bible where it was wrong, when I was mixed up in the middle of it, I would have thought it was all right. So teach your children. Teach your children what God classifies as good. Teach your children what he classifies as evil. Show them how wrong it is to get drunk and lose control of your senses. People can get drunk and have sex and wild orgies when they're drunk and lose complete control of themselves. And some of them, after a while, when they don't want to control themselves, they get drunk for that very reason, so they can do the things that are not pleasant to them but are only expedient when they get drunk, which justify the wicked for reward. You've got judges that take bribes right and left. You've got all kind of dishonesty. You've got business deals where the people justify the wicked if you slip them enough money and take away the righteousness of the righteous from them. Righteous man doesn't have a chance in today's society. Hartzell Lewis had a funeral last week. That was a good old man. He was a missionary Baptist deacon. That was a good old man. I knew Hartzell. I liked him. He may not have tickled your fancy, But I like the old man. We had had a corrupt regime in here that put up with cockfights, bulldog fights, booze brought in to the county, slipped in right and left, a rotten, corrupt administration. I wasn't worried about getting a ticket. They didn't give me tickets. I was a pastor in one of the churches. They didn't give tickets to people here in town either. They just gave them to the pastors through. And they went on with cockfights, bullfights, booze, you name it. Hartzell Lewis ran on a ticket. I'm going to clean this mess up. He said, we're going to do things where everybody's treated equally. Old Hartzell Lewis came in. He was fool enough to do it. And he started giving tickets to people, whether they were citizens or not of this community. He started trying to stop the bullfights, the cockfights, and everything else. After the end of his first administration, he came in and won over 60% of the vote, and the next time he ran, he got less than 40% of the vote. Good for evil. People don't want an honest administration. People want something that's favorable to them. You don't give me a ticket. You let me do what I want. Don't give me any trouble. Give the other people trouble, I'll vote for you. I'll be your friend. I'll campaign for you. Well, it's 10 minutes too late. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble, this is coming. And you better get ready for it. I'm not going to go past 7 o'clock or past 8 o'clock. But this is coming. And you jolly well better get ready for it. God's not going to put up with this any longer. I know he's not going to put up with it anymore. I know it in my bones. I mean, it's reached the ultimate level. I mean, we're at Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, you've got lesbians being glorified on television. You've got trisexuals, bisexuals being glorified. You've got homosexuals called gay so you won't hurt their feelings. And you've got an immoral set of standards on television that are justified by people constantly who look down upon us and call us and associate us with the church lady. And that's what they look upon us as. A bunch of self-righteous hypocrites who are just down here to stop them from having fun and are down here just so they can't enjoy life, and we're a sore on their side. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if loving Jesus and trying to do what he wants us to do and discerning what is good by God's definition of it in the Bible, and discerning what light is by God's definition in the Bible, and discerning what wisdom is by what God says it is, and prudence by what God says it is, then by cracky, until Jesus comes, that is precisely what I'm going to continue to attempt to do. And I guarantee you that with the passage of time, there are going to be less and less and less and less people who are doing this. Therefore, as the fire devours the stubble, and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their roots shall be as rottenness, and their blossoms shall go up as dust. Because they have cast away the law of hosts, and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. That's the whole problem. That's why the world sees George Bush as an ungodly hypocrite. They crucify him in effigies all over the world. They look upon the United States as a big bully. And how dare we try to do anything to Saddam Hussein to protect the rest of the world from being gassed, from being bioxided, and from being nuked. How dare we stand up and try to do what's right for other people? Brothers and sisters in Christ, I'm not saying that God is directing George Bush to start a war or anything like that. But I'm saying that what's right is right, and what's wrong is wrong. And Saddam Hussein is wrong. And he is not going to change. And if we let that booger get away with this, and the war is eventually canceled out, we might as well pull up our stakes in Europe, bring our troops home, and say, good luck, buddy, and let them blow themselves apart. Well, I don't think I better give an invitation, Danny. Should I? What are they going to come down the aisle and repent of? Let's go get Saddam Hussein, all right? Kenneth, would you dismiss us?